My guest at this time is Dr. David Hochberg. He is a healthcare policy analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research. Obamacare has been overshadowed in the news by a number of other stories recently, but Dr. Hochberg says a new report from the Department of Health and Human Services suggests that the financial underpinnings of the president's healthcare law are very unstable indeed, and he says there's plenty of new evidence in this report to suggest that's the case. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
The report is entitled Premium Affordability, Competition, and Choice in the Health Insurance Marketplace 2014. You say the point of this report is to show the American people that the Obamacare exchanges are improving cost and choice, but you say based on what plans people are buying and the amount of subsidies they're getting, it shows that a vast number of people who have signed into these exchanges are people with worse than average health. Explain how you reached that conclusion.
Well, let me say it's likely that is the case. We won't fully know, I think, until all the premium increases and so forth and maybe some more research data comes out. But here's how I reached that conclusion. One of the things that's been very curious about the Obamacare exchanges is that the vast majority of enrollees have chosen a silver plan. There are, of course, four basic types of plans in terms of levels of coverage: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. But about 65% of enrollees have chosen a silver plan. And one of the theories behind this has to do with the fact that if you earn 250% of the federal poverty level or less and you choose a silver plan, you get an additional subsidy to help you with your plan's cost sharing. So not only do you get a subsidy to help you with your premiums, you also get one to help you pay for deductibles, co-pays, and other types of cost sharing. And this cost sharing subsidy can greatly increase the value of the silver plan. Who's likely to choose a subsidy, a plan that has a subsidy for cost sharing, the silver plans, and it's probably people who are likely to have a lot of medical expenses, people that are sick. So some of the thinking has been that maybe this feature of Obamacare, of the exchanges, has attracted a lot of sicker people to the exchanges than is optimal. But so far, what we've been missing is any real evidence that, in fact, a lot of people buying silver plans do indeed make 250% of the federal poverty level or less. It's just kind of so far been a guess. But yesterday's report actually provided some pretty compelling evidence. You go down to Table 2 in the report, and it shows the average premium subsidy that people got by plan type. And this matters because the lower your income, the larger the subsidy you will get to help pay for your premiums. Guess which type of plan had the largest average premium subsidy?
Silver.
There you go. Its average was $276 a month, which is about 20% higher than the average subsidy for any other plan. And what this really strongly suggests is that a lot of silver plans are attracting, a lot of people below 250% of the federal poverty level. And if the reason they're choosing silver plans is that they have a lot of health problems, then you've got an insurance pool that is probably sicker than average and that will be very costly to cover. And what's going to happen after that? Well, premiums will rise. The young and healthy people who are in the exchanges start dropping out. And then we're off to the races to what's known as a death spiral. So that was sort of the big takeaway from that study, at least for me, yesterday.
You mentioned in the first part of your comments there, Dr. Hochberg, that we would see some more confirming data, if in fact your theory is correct here, in the coming months in terms of premium increases and other matters. What type of size of increase would we be seeing if in fact you're correct here?
Well, I think you would probably be seeing, going into the double digits, at least 10% or more on average. And we've actually started to see a bit of that. Vermont, for example, between the two insurers there, their average premium increase that they're asking for next year for the exchanges is over 12%. Ohio released their data recently, and the average was about 13%. Virginia and Washington State were just under 9%, not too bad. But there are a few in Washington State that are asking for a hike as high as 26%. In Arizona, we don't have all the data yet, but the two of the bigger insurers there, Cigna asked for a 14% increase, and Humana has requested a 25% increase. So, you know, if we see really high increases like that, you know, there's going to be a lot of incentive for people who are getting very, you know, young, healthy people who aren't getting very big subsidies or getting no subsidy at all to drop out of the exchanges. So, that's probably what to look for.
Couple of quick questions before we let you go, Dr. Hochberg. There was also a report out this week suggesting that a lot of people's subsidies are about to be adjusted. What they put in when they entered the exchanges ended up offering them more generous subsidies than their tax information might suggest. So the report suggested that's about 25% or about 2 million of the 8 million people. So how's that going to impact all this?
Well, a couple things you need to break out there. Of that 2.1 million, it was 1.2 million that had the subsidy problem reported their income and a discrepancy in the income they reported. It was another 900,000 that had something to do with their immigration status, whether or not they were a legal resident. How could that impact things? Well, you could end up with a lot of people ending up with subsidies that perhaps they qualified for that are too high, you know, losing some of those subsidies, but it'll depend. One of the things I took away from that, I think, is that to some extent it's the administration's own fault that this has happened. You recall that you know, they didn't have the technology ready to be able to check people's incomes with the IRS, but they went ahead with the exchanges anyways. And then about a year ago, they said that, well, you know, for a number of these exchanges, we're going to rely on the honor system to report your income. Well, you know, I think that gets out and people kind of think, well, you know, I can fudge things a little bit and the extent to which any law is, you know, people are going to follow it is dependent on whether or not the government's going to enforce it. And, you know, by saying we're going to do things on the honor system kind of means we're not really enforcing it. So this is not exactly, you know, if you looked at from that perspective, it's not really a surprise.
And real quick, you mentioned it. I know that it's a term that's been thrown out a lot during the Obamacare debate, but getting back to the fear you have with the silver plans and the huge subsidies and the rising premiums potentially, especially driving young people out of the insurance market, use the term death spiral. Explain exactly what that is and how close we are to seeing it if you're right here.
Well, a death spiral occurs basically when the young and healthy, because of government regulations and so forth, the young and healthy in the insurance pool have an incentive to drop out. And when that happens, young and healthy start dropping out. The, you know, overall insurance pool is older and sicker. It's more costly to insure, and hence the premiums will then rise to cover it. And so as premiums go up, more younger, healthier people drop out. Again, premiums rise, and what you end up with is an insurance pool that is largely older, sicker, and insurance prices that really only appeal to those types of folks. So that's basically a death spiral.
And based on your interpretation of the number of people, the amount of subsidies they're getting at that silver level plan, you think we're headed in that direction? How precipitously are we headed in that direction?
That's a good question. At this point, I don't have a good answer for you. Sorry.
Well, I'll have to wait for a few more reports and other data to come out. Dr. Hochberg, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. David Hochberg is a healthcare policy analyst at the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.